Running back rankings. Don't quit on Miles Sanders. I'm starting to feel like Miles Sanders is like a bad ex-girlfriend that we just can't quit. And DT's here to explain why you shouldn't quit her and get back together, maybe even get married. Starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I gotta tell you, welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Yes, it is Thursday. It's another rankings episode. I am truly enjoying these episodes. It's really helped me take a deep dive, and I love DT's takes on these players. And today we're going through RB 16 to 20. However, before we do, we want to make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube. I know you're watching, people. Subscribe. Hit that bell. You're watching anyway. You might as well get the notifications. You might as well subscribe. We already got you hooked. You already want more. Also, make sure you're going to Razzball IG and TikTok at Razzball Fantasy. And always, make sure you're going to Razzball.com, folks, the flagship, checking out all the great articles on the baseball, basketball, hockey, and football side. We're doing a bunch of great things all summer long. And also, make sure you check out the latest top 20 article in the description. There's a link article breaking down all his top 20 running backs and see how he compares to the latest consensus ADP data, also on Razzball.com. All right, folks, buried the lead long enough. Let's bring in my esteemed colleague, Donkey Teeth. What's going on, buddy?
What's happening, Bobby? You know, I think you actually buried the real lead still. Bobby, this guy is a trooper. He cares so much about your fantasy football leagues. He's got COVID. He's battling through it. We appreciate you, Bobby. And I'm somewhere in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina, for the 4th of July. And hopefully my internet holds up here, but you know, the show must go on, right?
That's true. Actually, that's a HIPAA violation. So Razzball's not going to have a lawsuit. Sorry to hear that happen. So
this was a long game.
I'm going to tell Gray about the own Razzball. I'm excited. All right. So let's get into the running back rankings. We're going to start at 20, jump down to 16. I actually really do enjoy your rankings. And at number 20, you start off hot. You got a guy that's going 8 spots higher than the ADP, Damian Harris. So talk to us a little bit about why you have Damian Harris inside your top 20.
You know, I think that this is a stage in the ranking, and I say that when I hit about 17 here in the rankings, that we can go a lot of different directions. These are not guys that I'm really dying to go to bat for. I'm not crazy about going all in on anybody in the Patriots offense. It's for a long time now, it's been really hard to trust one running back in a Belichick system. You know, we've been fooled before. So, you know, I'm dipping a toe in here on Damian Harris. There's a lot going for him. He seems to have gotten Belichick's trust. You know, he had 202 rushes last year, almost got to 1,000 rushing yards, 15 rushing touchdowns. You know, that's not necessarily repeatable or something that we want to count on being repeated, but we know the Patriots, they always have one of the best offensive lines. He's still only 25 years old. Again, he's established himself as the main guy there, and Mac Jones looked really surprisingly good to me last year. I think they're really excited about Mac Jones in New England. So, you know, as a back end RB2, I think that this is the spot for Damian Harris.
So I think I do love the take, because I am going to be higher than on consensus on Damian Harris. But here is a ridiculous little analysis I did for late season dominant running backs. So guys that played at least 3 of the last 5 weeks over the last 3 seasons. There's 15 guys who qualified, 14 who actually played the next season. Of those, 9 of them outkicked their ADP and 10 at least supported their ADP. So that is a 70% hit rate for these guys. And guess who's one of the guys who had 20 points or more in half point PPR last year down the last 5 weeks? Damian Harris was one, James Conner, and Rashad Penny. The best part about all 3 of those guys, none of them are consensus top 24 picks. And overall, pretty much all 3 of them can be had in that 2-3 turn. And of course, with Harris and Rashad Penny much later. So when these guys get hot towards the end of the season, they typically do meet their ADP. And because he's going to RB 28, I love this rank, and I think I'll be pretty close to RB20. Let's jump down to number 19. You're actually this one's kind of boring. No offense, but ADP's got him at 18. You got him at 19. You're right in line with ADP. So talk to us a little bit about David Montgomery.
Right. I think this is just, I think ADP's got it right. I think this is just where he's got to be. And I'm not much for boring players. I'll typically go for the upside. And even as a Bears fan, he's probably not a guy that I'm going to be drafting on a ton of teams unless he just falls to me at a value. But he's a floor play. And I say that in these rankings, when you mention floor and running back, it's a bit of a fallacy. It's a trap because none of them really have any floor at all. So my preference is just to go for the upside because they so often break down and get hurt. But if somebody does have floor, it's got to be David Montgomery. You know, he's heading into year four. Each of the past three seasons, he's been a workhorse in Chicago. He was from his rookie season. There's no reason to think that he won't be again. And he's done it really in bad offenses. The upside, questionable. You know, if Justin, again, just like I said with Damian Harris, and I'll say about another guy that as we move up here, I've got a couple more exciting options that I maybe am going to be a little more likely to draft than David Montgomery. But if Justin Fields takes a step forward and this offense gets clicking, and again, as a Bears fan, I'm not counting on that. You know, there is, I guess, a little bit more upside with Montgomery, but, you know, the track record is pretty strong. We're going to get 200 and whatever carries, he's going to get us a handful of touchdowns, probably not hitting the double digit touchdown mark unless he gets lucky. But the numbers will likely be there at season's end. It's just, you know, probably looking at a back end RB2, right where we got him ranked.
Yeah. And I actually do agree. I think the other thing that worries me just a little bit was he actually was worse with Justin Fields last year. Now, granted, the offense was terrible. I mean, they did not try to make this offense tailor fitted to Justin Fields. He didn't stand a chance. But he actually only averaged 13.5 points per game with Justin Fields last year. That would have been outside the top 20. They also lost two of their best offensive linemen. Jason Peters is a veteran left tackle. They didn't re-sign him. He's gone. And then they also lost James Daniels in the offseason. So those were their two best graded PFF offensive linemen. Now that's they're outside the top 20 in offensive line grades already. What does that mean? Do they fall to the bottom 5, 6? How is that going to impact David Montgomery? So there is a lot of question marks, but I do think because of the volume, I tend to agree with you. I think I'll probably have him right in the same exact range. Let's jump down to number 18 and the star of the show, Miles Sanders. I feel like at this point, trust me, I'm a Miles Sanders truther, so I need to hear this. So talk to me about Miles Sanders. Why are you actually above 9 spots? Right now he's going at ADP RB27. So talk to us why you have him at 18.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Sanders, anybody that's followed me for – more than, I don't know, 5 minutes, knows that Miles Sanders is, I've always had a thing for him. I've drafted him ever since he's a rookie. I just love that upside. He really oozes upside. Anytime he touches the ball, he can take it to the house. So much talent. And this is the top-rated offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus, the Eagles this year. So he's got a lot going for him. And these are the perfect type of situations when you're looking for a buy low, a value at your draft, a guy that's got 0 touchdowns last year. He's been banged up really his entire career. So, I mean, there's a reason for him to be devalued. And, yeah, I mean, he's not necessarily reliable, but he is that kind of guy that you can get in the 5th or 6th round that if everything clicks and he gets those 200 carries and, you know, 50 receptions – we're talking about a first rounder here, and you can get him in the 5th or 6th. And it's that type of home run swing that, you know, if you swing and miss, it's not going to kill you because it was maybe a 6th round draft pick. And most people are going to miss on a couple of picks there in rounds 4 through 7. So, this is the type of player that I like going for, and I'll bump up the rankings. And I'm not necessarily going to draft him here as the 18th off the board, but I think there's a very real chance that he can finish here or higher.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Yeah, he's continuing to fall too. He's going like the 6-7 round at the turn, right there in that range in our ADP. This thing I will say about Miles Sanders, he did average 6 yards per carry last year, and that's absurd. That is probably not going to happen again. And I think when I was looking at, so I do a thing called points per rush attempt. You saw the article on Razzball.com last year, and I talk about how many points they generate per rush. Well, he was actually he was a little bit worse than his career average, but he wasn't that far off. So if you just apply his career average point per rush attempt to his touches from last year, when he was actually dominating. Now, remember, the Eagles changed their entire philosophy as soon as he got hurt in that Raiders game. That first drive of that game, it haunts me to this day. He had 6 carries for 30 yards at a target, and then he gets hurt, and then the Eagles become the number one rushing team in football. But I digress. The point is, when you factor all that in, the extra work, his efficiency on the ground, and factoring in how many points he usually generates, he gets up to about 13 points per game, which is really good. But that would have been RB20 range last year in PPR. So that's where I kind of feel like the RB20 to 24, I feel comfortable raking him there. Inside my top 20, I just think the problem is Boston Scott took goal line work last year, which is crazy to think, but they preferred to do Scott over Sanders. And then he started splitting passing game work with Gainwell and Scott. In those final weeks of the season, he only ran a route on 20 of 64 dropbacks. So he's only running a route on 1/3 of the dropbacks. So he really didn't get a lot of targets. So I think that caps his upside well. So I feel more comfortable with him as a low-end RB2. But the best part, too, is he's going at RB27 right now. So I think me and you are going to have a lot of Miles Sanders in 2022. Let's jump down to number 17, the Rook, Breece Hall. So tell us a little bit about Breece Hall and why. I think right now today, let me just check his ADP, RB19. So you actually do have him a little bit higher than ADP. So talk to us about why you're a little bit higher.
Yeah, well, I mean, top rookie running back of this draft class. I like the shiny new toy, unknown upside. He's in the Jets offense, so temper expectations, right? They drafted Michael Carter last year, but that was a fourth-round draft pick that they spent on him. Now they're coming back, and they're spending an early second rounder on Breece Hall. It speaks for itself, right? They're not exactly enamored with Michael Carter as their running back of the future. They ponied up more draft capital for Breece Hall. He's a bit more exciting player. And again, as I said, with Justin Fields and Mac Jones, if Zach Wilson can make that leap forward in year two, again, knock on wood, it's the Jets offense, but there is a chance that we see a different Jets team this year. I know, don't hold your breath. But the upside is there, obviously, for Breece Hall. I think he ends up getting close to 200 carries, an explosive player like him, it could be an exciting 200 carries.
So I'm actually even more bullish. I'm at 13, and I'll tell you why. There is a pretty big gap between the top 12 RBs, and then when you start getting the guys like Jacobs, David Montgomery, Antonio Gibson. But I think when you get to Barkley, Aaron Jones, that back end of the first round, in my opinion, there's a drop-off. And I am going to squeeze him right in there. And there's a couple of reasons why for that. Well, I know it's the Jets, but they boast probably a top 10 offensive line. Last year, they finished 11th in PFF's grades, but they added Lincoln Tomlinson. I know they lost Morgan Moses, but if they can get anything out of Mekhi Becton at right tackle, they're going to have a solid line, and it could be a top 10 line. That's check number one. Number two, if you start looking at Michael Carter's stats last year, he kind of had this weird season. They mixed in Ty Johnson. They mixed in Tevin Coleman. He didn't have the starting job right away. So if you look at his snaps played, you start noticing a huge growth in his points per game. Last year, he wasn't really that notable. 6.7 points per game, not great. But however, when he plays 50% of the snaps, that jumps to 13.7. That would have been RB21. If he played 70% of the snaps, it jumps to 21.7. So when he was on the field, he was dominating when he was giving the workhorse role. I think Breece Hall will get it. So when you start looking into the upside, if he's starting to get in that 70% snap range, you've seen Michael Carter do it. Why can't Breece Hall? So I'll take a shot on him, probably in that RB 12, 13 to 14 range. So I love Breece Hall in 2022. Let's jump down to number 16, our last running back today, Aaron Jones. You're about 5 spots lower than ADP. So why are you fading Aaron Jones in 2022?
Right, and I might end up being six spots lower because, I mean, I'm loving everything you're saying about Breece Hall, and it's only encouraging me to maybe bump him above Aaron Jones. I mean, Aaron Jones, yeah, he had a down 2021 season. He only had four rushing touchdowns, which, you know, that number probably bumps up a little bit next year. He only had 799 rushing yards. A.J. Dillon's still there. He's a big reason why those numbers were down. But Jones did still finish his RB12 in half PPR league. So it's tough to devalue him too much. He's still a really good player in an offense led by Aaron Rodgers. So it's one of those weird rankings where, man, I'm not excited to draft him, but he absolutely could finish as a top 10 running back. So I don't want to take like a strong stance here. He's just not super exciting to me. You know, last year he did catch six receiving touchdowns. I like AJ Dillon a lot personally. But it's one of those weird situations. You know what I mean, Bobby? The numbers are probably going to be there, but I'm not feeling great about it.
So my thought with Aaron Jones is there's two sides to this argument. The first one is you're going to talk about the Devontae Adams games. Oh, in the seven games without Devontae Adams, he is blown up in the receiving game. Those are facts. Seven games, okay? Now, in the same exact side of this, we have to talk about the seven games over the last down the stretch of 2021 when he returned from injury and A.J. Dillon took over as the goal line and red zone back. So we talked about this in the past. It all went to A.J. Dillon. Check and look at the stats in red zone. I don't have them in front of me, unfortunately. I apologize. COVID. You're slacking already, Bob. But essentially, it says blame COVID. So essentially what happened is that's why he didn't score as many rushing touchdowns because he wasn't getting carries inside the five over the down the stretch of the season. And in the playoff game, yes, he did get a bunch of targets, but who got the goal line carry? It was A.J. Dillon. And a lot of people might say, oh, well, it's because they do each drive. That's not true. It was well over 70% of the red zone carries went to A.J. Dillon. So you take that away, but you start giving him a slight bump in the receiving game without Devontae Adams. It's true. Listen, he averaged 14.1 reception points per game without Devontae Adams. His career is 8.2. So that is a huge jump. I mean, not his career, sorry. His 2021 production was 8.2. So if you give him an additional 6 points per game, which I won't, it jumps him up. It gets him up there into the top 12 again. So that's why I'll have him at 12, because I do believe that the reception points are more important. But like you said, I'm a little hesitant. There's a lot of top five talk with Aaron Jones. I do not see that upside because of A.J. Dillon. So I think post-injury, when you start looking at 13.7, it might add maybe 3 to 4 more points per game. You get him close to that 17. That's low-end RB1 numbers, which is what I feel comfortable with in 22. Any last thoughts about Aaron Jones before we close the show?
No, I mean, I think we nailed it, and we're saying the same things. You just end up ranking him a little bit higher, and it's probably more draft philosophy than anything.
Okay. Well, that's it, folks. That is the first edition of the COVID-19 series brought to you by Razzball Fantasy. Once again, make sure you're following us across the board, guys. Make sure you go to Razzball Fantasy on YouTube. Guys, we know you're following. I go to the YouTube analytics, and 75% of you aren't subscribing. Come on. Hit the subscribe button. We would love to have you as a follower. Also, make sure you go to Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, NIG, but most importantly, make sure you go to razzball.com to check out all the great articles, and make sure you're going to check out DT's top 20 running back article that dropped just yesterday, and hit the link in the description. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby DeMarco. That man is Donkey Teeth. We are out of here.